Well, fuck yeah. Happy fucking happy hour. It's Marcia fucking Clark is in the house, everybody. What the fuck? What the fuck? Okay. We're friends, but I finally, and I try to, you know, parse my favors, you know, very lightly, but I was like, you're fucking everywhere. Just fucking come on my show. You're fucking everywhere.
It was a hilarious email.
You are the belle of the ball.
You're so funny. You're fucking everywhere, so why not my show? It was really, you know.
Come to my fancy basement.
Thought, you know? No, then I thought, really, why have I not?
Yes.
Yes.
I was like, all right, yes. God damn it, today's show fucking, and she's on every channel. You, I am so happy for you because, you know, I have loved you forever from the moment I met you. And everybody now is saying, like, my friend Rebecca Traister was on, who wrote, you know, this piece on you, like, Marcia Clark redeemed. And I'm like, redeemed? Fuck you, you motherfuckers, you cocksuckers. You took so much shit. And his roommates are coming later. They go, we just want to hug her. We watched the whole series. Because we forget the fucking sexism you dealt with, the just the bullshit.
It was an amazing amount of bullshit. But let me just say,
yeah.
I loved you too. We met doing CNBC, remember? Back when they had shows actually with women on them, which like very seldom do
we
now.
We hosted
anymore.
Equal Time together
we
on
did.
CNBC.
Most fun I ever had on television. And to this day, that was just crazy
I
fun.
Know, I know.
And made me laugh my ass off every day.
But
every
here's,
day.
Here's, well, and also I got a break from Babe Buchanan, so fucking thank you. Jesus.
Oh, that was funny. You and Babe, you can't, that was like Alpha and Omega. You know, I'm surprised that the universe didn't like explode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we had to be on opposite coasts because we were going to fucking kill each other.
Yeah.
She used to start every sentence with, once again, you have your facts wrong, Stephanie. Let me explain it to you.
I just remember the breathing.
I used to do these comedy bits and they would cut back to her and she looked like she sat on a fucking cactus. Like she had a cactus up her twat. She just was like, I don't. Is that funny? I don't think so. But she, and I apologize to Babe Buchanan's twat. Anyway, and well, mostly to the cactus. But anyway. But the funny thing is it was supposed to be right wing, left wing. And the funny thing is you weren't really right wing.
No.
You were just, because they thought, oh, she's a prosecutor. It's all the shit you went through. It's the image over the prosecutor and she's tough and she's.
And that was the problem, actually. You remember? Yeah. I mean, they actually wanted us to do a show together. But then they discovered that we don't really have a point counterpoint. We just have a point.
I remember they told you need to stop laughing at Stephanie so much.
Yes. They did.
Can you hate her Faye does, please?
Yes. How could you be agreeing? How could you? Yes, I know. I really failed.
Bay and I were like, it was like I was doing Tonight Show and she was doing a Crossfire and it was just a disaster. It was just like, fucking really, watching a train wreck.
It is really true.
But anyway, yeah, it's so funny. And this is in the Rebecca Traister article. And as you know, everything is so full circle now because you're being compared to Hillary. It's hilarious where they're going. She's dealing with the same sexism. Like Rebecca wrote the book about the sexism she dealt with in the 2008.
Right.
And I thought the same thing. I'm not friends with, you know, I haven't drinking tequila with Hillary.
You haven't been?
Or scotch or whatever I do with you.
Right. It used to be scotch. You're so
scotch.
Cool about that. Scotch.
Yeah.
Now I've branched out.
Then
I
you
vodka,
went to vodka.
Tequila.
And now, can you fucking believe I invited Marcia Clark and I forgot to fucking get club soda? So we had to go to the tequila. It is so embarrassing.
not to me. I'm extremely happy. Let me just say, I think that all of the women who are doing so-called, quote-unquote, men's jobs kind of wind up being in a similar boat. You know, there's this constant way in which there's a criticism leveled at women doing men's jobs, and I keep doing that air quote thing that I hate, but I hate just saying that because it's not men's jobs, and it doesn't require any heavy lifting to be a lawyer or president. You know, you just have to have a brain, and I think women do okay with that.
Right.
And yet they get framed up in the same way. So we all wind up kind of getting the same kind of bad rap from, you know, the same quarters and for the same reasons.
Right. What? I mean, I guess what I was saying is I've only met her a couple of times, but it's so funny. She strikes me the same way you do. When I met you, I was like, oh, my God, she's so warm and funny and down to earth and not at all what that public image is of. But that sexism you deal with of this, you know, she's a bitch. She's strong. She's tough. And I'm like, she's fucking prosecuting a murder trial. What?
Not a fucking dinner party. I know. It's like, you know, it was a weird thing even in the very beginning of the case when we had this jury consultant from hell who was really, I mean, such a dipshit. And he's you know, you should wear dresses because those skirt suits are too harsh. You should wear pastel. Talk more softly. What the hell do you think I'm doing here? A murder trial is a battle. It's not a dinner party, dude. You know, and if I did that, yeah. if I walked in a little pink yeah. pinafore and said, may I put, I mean, they'd just be, they'd be all over me. Then they'd yeah. trash me for that. There's no winning yeah. this kind of thing.
Yeah. But I mean, your roommate's wanting to hug her. It's like, because you were dealing with so much shit. You're in a personal, you're in a custody battle. You're taking all this shit in the media. It was this sort of nexus of sexism and all these racial things happening.
It wasn't
real. And I don't know, how did you survive it emotionally?
You know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You know, I really think when that's a good question. I think I didn't know I had a choice. Yeah. Did I have a choice? I had to keep going. And I really do think that's kind of typical of women. Women just deal. Women just keep going. And yeah, I think of all yeah. the women who, you know, are raising children and, you know, and they're having to run back and forth between whatever else they're doing. And if they have work outside the home, they're running from home, then they're running to work, then they're running. And it's a constant effort to make everything fit, whether you're working outside the home or not. Yeah. And women just deal. They just keep moving on. The yeah. woman who holds down three jobs and has to be sole support for four kids. You know, they just do
yeah.
much more than I've ever seen men do. And I think that's how you just, you keep doing it. And the other thing is, I think that women also know they don't dare not show up. They yeah. don't dare yeah. say, I'm too tired, or I have a headache, or
but
I can't,
see,
you know, they don't
this
dare.
This is why people revere you like Hillary, because she just fucking gets back up and puts her goddamn pantsuit on. She goes back out there. But that's what you did, right?
I never like, wore a pantsuit.
All right, give me the fucking yellow one. See, she's a way better woman than I am. Like, and so is President Obama. Like, President Obama is a bigger man than I am. Because he's dealt with so much racist bullshit.
Yeah.
I would just be like, you know that's what? True. I'm going to whip out my big black presidential dick. And you know what? Y'all can suck it. And Ansel Coulter, you can suck it twice. And if Hillary gets in, this is just my personal dream, Marsha. I hope that she calls all men bitches all the time. I'm all good dealing with Congress. I hope she goes... Yeah, you know, that's how it's going to be. You know why? Because I'm POTUS, bitches.
I want her to call them shrill.
You're being a little shrill.
You're being a little shrill.
The tone of your voice is a little.
And you know what?
I like what you're wearing. And your hair.
I like what you're wearing. And Orrin Hatch, I think you're hysterical right now. I want her to do all of them. All of them. Get them all, man.
Hey, you know what? You look like you comb your hair with a balloon, you motherfucker. Here's what I think.
True,
yeah,
true.
I would just, that would be me. That's why I'll never be president, because I'd be like, yeah, you know what, yeah. needle dick? Here's what I think. You know what's bigger than your needle dick is my veto pen.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah, you know why? Because I'm POTUS,
bitches. POTUS, bitches.
That's what I am.
I like it.
By the way, if anyone needs to talk to me, I'll be in the Oval Office. You know why?
Because I'm POTUS,
bitch. Bam!
I love that so much.
And by the way, my husband got a blowjob and I'm still POTUS, bitches.
Oh, which reminds me, okay, so I have heard some yes. of the most hair-raising comments by women, because it always gets to me more.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, you know, Keith, we are more than 50% now.
Yes.
If we would just hold hands in even the most minimal way, we would get legislation through. We would get people in Congress and on the Senate, you know, that are awesome and really quality. But because we have this, what I'm about to tell you, this attitude. And it was these two women were talking about Hillary Clinton. And one said to the other, she can't keep her marriage straight, so how can she run a country?
Yeah.
And I heard that. I go, are you kidding me?
Because she's on her first marriage, and all these motherfuckers are on their third or fourth marriage.
Yeah. But more than that, why is it her job? What does it have to do with her that he went and got a blowjob from an intern?
Right.
I mean, what does that have to do with her?
She can't be president because what?
Because what?
Yeah.
She can't keep her marriage straight. Why is that her job?
Yeah.
And what does that fucking have to do with running a country?
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, So,
by the way, why do we not say that about him? Why is it not him?
Yeah.
How come he can run a country? He can't keep his dick in his pants.
Yeah.
I think that's a bigger question.
I think people were like, wow, he was talking to Arafat and getting up. Well, that is fucking impressive. Yeah, that's right. You got to stop those settlements. Okay, a little more to the left. We're like, wow, that is impressive. It is. It's the double standard that we all fucking deal
is.
With.
Oh, it so is.
And
it's so.
Okay, let's talk about. So Sarah Paulson obviously was fucking amazing, but I thought like she did the Marsha Clark. I know.
Yeah.
It's that like it's not like, oh, this is all new. this is who you've always been, this amazing, brilliant, sensitive woman that, you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
But she brought out all those colors.
But she brought out the way I really was feeling on the inside. And, you know, you walk into court and it's a battle. And you can't go in saying, oh, we're going to lose and I'm sad. Yeah. And by the way, based on that, with the meme started floating around, and I don't know who, what idiot started that, that we were overconfident in our case.
Yeah.
I'm going to present a confident face to the press. I'm not going to go to the press and go, you know what I mean? That was ridiculous. But she had a way of showing all the feelings and the way it felt to be the pinata for the press.
Yeah.
And it was a really nuanced, beautiful performance. I was amazed by it.
Yeah.
Amazed. And she didn't know me. I mean, it's not like, you know.
But you had a great meeting with her. You closed a restaurant down.
We
what
did.
Was that like?
We did. It was so fun. It was so fun. It was like you.
Yeah.
It was like you. It was like us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We were just talking and laughing and drinking all night long and closed the place down. I didn't even realize how long we had been there, like hours. I mean, the wait staff is standing there going,
And you were kind of shocked, I remember hearing that, you know, because you just took so much shit at the time that Ryan Murphy and that, you know, they were presenting a sympathetic portrait of you.
Never
expected
that.
That it wasn't this, like, you know, that it was the real person.
I never expected it, Stephanie. Never did. When I heard about
you heard
this,
about it, you were like, oh, fuck.
Exactly.
Because you're a potty mouth, and I know you said, oh, fuck.
Oh,
I know you said, oh, fuck.
Oh, I really did. I so did. I said that and more. Not only, oh, fuck, but fuck this. You know, I was really unhappy, and I thought it was going to be terrible. I just, you know, and here we go again. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to have to duck. I'm going to have to, you know.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't like that. And then they attacked the issue of race head on and put it in context to the Rodney King beatings and the verdict and everything. And I thought, wow, that's smart. I can't believe they did that. And then, as episode after episode unfolded, I realized, God, they're really going for it. And I was super impressed. I didn't see that coming.
And you've talked about that, you know, and all the things that have happened since, all this, you know, police violence against black people.
Right.
You've had a different understanding of what.
Much deeper.
Because, you know, you're right about what happened there and the deep distrust that black people have of the police, and rightfully so in many cases.
Yeah, rightfully so. And that's the thing. It's not that I didn't know, because we were trying cases, all of us. No, not Bill, but me and Chris had been trying cases downtown where the juries were largely minority for 10 years. So we knew what we were up against. And it would happen in every case where the defendant was black, every single one, race would become an issue.
Yeah.
Because the defense knew, the lawyers knew, that they could work the jury's mistrust of law enforcement. So I knew, and there was no shock that this was going to happen in the Simpson case, even though Simpson was beloved by the police. He was their hero.
Yeah.
It's a little incongruous, but they were still going to work it.
The case you built about domestic violence with her, when you watch all that again, you're just like, Jesus
no one cares.
Christ. Between that and all the forensic evidence.
But no one cared.
Fuck.
You know what? When it came right down to it, I really do think, and I have to say thank you to Cuba Gooding Jr. for being as honest as he was, and I believe Sterling Brown. And I hope I'm not wrong about that. I don't want to misrepresent, but at least Cuba was quoted as saying, I remember when that trial was going on, I was following it, and I didn't care what the evidence was. I didn't care. I just wanted us to win. And that was the feeling of not only mistrust of law enforcement, but also a desire for us to prevail.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with evidence. So what can fix that trial is not evidence.
Yeah.
You know, that can never be the answer.
Yeah. Well, even said, like, you know, we're all human. Lawyers make mistakes. Of course, like, this mistake, that mistake. I mean,
yes,
I know
absolutely.
You know, Darden talked about that, you know, I mean, you were saying it was his decision about to try on the gloves.
Right.
And you go, well,
these
they clearly
happen.
Were his gloves. But, you go, like, in retrospect, like.
No, it wouldn't have been the right, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is, people say, well, don't you know latex would screw up the fit? And don't you know they shrink and blah, blah, blah? I said, yes, I know that. And not only do I know that, but we put on experts to talk about that. And an expert to say those gloves fit him.
Right.
Those are his gloves. Those, that is his size.
It didn't matter. Johnny Cochran had a rhyme. And you were Fox.
And that's, you know what? I mean, Johnny Cochran had. More than a rhyme. So, you know, and we know there's a reason for it. And I think the recent spate of police shootings that we've seen, and being shot in the back, come on. While you're running away. How do you call that being threatened? I mean, it doesn't blows my mind. So when you see that, though, I think it impacts on it. Even though you already know, there's a way in which those graphics hit you on a deeper level. And you understand the mistrust. You understand the reasons why.
Yeah.
The jury was so willing to believe crackpot theories of conspiracy and planting and all this other horse shit that could never be true.
Yeah.
Could never be true.
I wish that you could have said horse shit during the trial. That would have been so cleansing. Because, I just watched the Final Verdict episode online before you came in, and I remember your closing statement, because I remember listen, I'm no Tina Fey or Sarah Paulson, but I was playing you on my late night TV show.
You were great.
No, I put all this eyeshadow under my eyes. I'm sorry. It was just because you look really tired. You were tired.
Oh, yeah, man.
And it was awful hair. You look much better now.
Thank you. It was awful hair. It really was. I look at it and I go, what the hell was I thinking?
You look so much better now.
Thank you.
We did a scene where every time the camera cut back to me, I had a different wig on. And that was the joke.
That's cute. That's funny.
That's funny.
Oh, and there was a moment.
We did Marsha Clark Kent. That was my character, Marsha Clark Kent. I was a superhero.
Did I have a cape?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yes. It was fantastic. Anyway. But what was I saying? I remember that your whole closing, which was brilliant. But I just remember the whole, like, do we wish a person like Mark Furman had never dated?
Yes.
Do we wish? So I think I had you going much further. Do I wish I could roll Mark Furman's balls in honey and set fire ants on him?
Yes. Yes.
Anyway. Yes. Just too far? Too far?
Too much?
No.
Okay. Not too much? Okay.
Right. Did you spitball that with Darden?
No. That too much?
Is that too much for the moment? Okay. All
right. I remember there was one moment in the series, too, when they showed Sarah Paulson out in the backyard smoking when she finds out that Johnny Cochran is on the case. And she goes, motherfucker. And I thought, that's so right on.
Yeah.
That is so me. That's so right.
I want to know what you said about Jojito, because he was a sexist motherfucker, too.
Oh, really?
Like, I love when, he gets up, he lets Oji just get up and talk. Oh, and you're just the look on Sarah Paulson's face, just,
how
really?
The fuck do you do that? How do you do it? Yeah. No judge would allow this. I mean, the thing that the public
was crazy.
The public can't possibly know that what you saw with Judge Ito is so not typical of judges.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
I mean, the sexist behavior on one.
Oh my God! About your
thing,
about the length of your skirts. About I mean, he was so fucking condescending to you.
It was awful. Yeah. I was Marsha, and everybody else was Mr. Cochran and Mr. Shapiro, and but I was Marsha.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like we were friends. You know what I mean? It's not like we have a past relationship. No, we don't. And why am I not Ms. Clark anyway? Sometimes I was. It was up to him.
Yeah.
But it was really. The public doesn't realize how awful the rulings were, how off the wall they were, and how his treatment of me in particular was so off the wall. It didn't usually happen, Stephanie. It didn't.
Yeah.
So this was actually a standout in terms of sexist, condescending, demeaning behavior. The stuff he did during my opening statement. I'm talking to the jury, and I'm going to address the race issue because it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And he yanked me over to sidebar. I mean, screamed at me, basically, get over here, as though I was some kind of wayward child, and threatened to hold me in contempt.
He's the worst judge ever.
Because I'm actually addressing something that we're talking about. We talked about in voir dire.
Yeah.
There was no reason for it, but that just went on constantly. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of sexist bullshit, so one of your ex-husbands sold a picture of your tits to the tabloids.
It was his
in
mother.
In the middle of the trial.
It was his mother.
Why are you dealing with custody shit and this sexist motherfucking media and this sexist motherfucking judge? Let's talk about that.
Shall we talk about that?
Let's talk about that.
That was so fucking hideous. That was like, there were so many low blows. So
by
many
the way,
low
can
blows.
I just say in a really respectful way, nice tits.
That was just so perfect.
I'm sorry.
That's
a sidebar.
Thank you.
Go ahead, counselor.
And that was
Continue.
Actually perfect. I don't mean to be sexist, but
go ahead.
That was great. And actually, they had a bar over that. They thought they were being very coy with that. It was so, there were so many like cheap shots that were happening constantly that one in particular was like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
And she was the kind of person who you just show her a dollar and she's running after it. So I'm sure they paid her, that's what happened. But it was a horrible low point in the trial, thinking everyone's going to see this. How demeaning, how embarrassing, how humiliating. I was a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
First, and damn, why would you ever expect someone to sell a picture like that when you're in the middle of a trial? You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, it just is, I think... Your sort of strength and resilience is the thing that I mean, it really, I remember during the thick of the trial when I was, radio host back wherever the fuck. But I'll never forget, we did some event together, remember? I'll forget when you got there, the whole room just like the seas parted. I mean, the media attention was insane.
It was crazy. It was crazy. It was too much, and it was not good. You know, I mean, it was a weird thing that in the beginning, you know, the focus on my appearance and all that stuff just struck me as ridiculous. Yeah. It's just, are you kidding?
Yeah.
And just went, you know, whatever, and pushed it away. But then after a while, it got to be really upsetting. It got to be really, you know, why aren't we talking about Shapiro's shirts or Johnny's ties or whatever suits? You know, why? Why only me? They're all on camera.
Right.
You know, and it felt so, you know, over the top and silly. And yet also, there's an obvious difference. There's blue coverage and there's pink coverage, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, the whole thing, I it must have been surreal for you to watch this thing because it's become, for people that weren't there like we all were, like, oh my God, this is this whole reimagining of this thing that you lived through.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very weird. It was tough to relive. And because they did it so well and Sarah was so amazing.
Well, why Sarah Paulson changed her view of Marcia Clark. I mean, you know, even the person that played you was like, oh, whatever age she was, right? And she saw it, and I just remember this.
Yeah, that happened. You know something? I think, truthfully, in fairness, we all became cartoons. We all became caricatures. And most people, and I would say probably like 85% of the country is working or doing stuff. They're not watching constantly the gavel-to-gavel coverage. They're getting their news bites and sound bites and however the pundits are characterizing us. So they're little snippets of things, not seeing who we really are, and they couldn't.
No,
so,
and that's what I mean. When I first met you, I was like, oh, my God, she's the funniest, warmest, nicest person I've
you
met.
You are the funniest person.
No, you're the
best. No, you're the best.
Don't
you're
fuck the best. I will you're fuck the you up. I'll
know
you will.
I know you will. Okay.
All right. What did you call Totito in the privacy of your home? Because I know when you drank scotch, you were like, you fucking sexist douchebag motherfucker.
That sounds right.
All right. Yeah. Okay. But, Sarah Paulson said, I really had a very particular image and picture of that, one that I think most Americans had, which was that she was kind of strident, aggressive bitch, for lack of an articulate way of putting it. And through the research I did and the scripts themselves, I just came to realize that that was so, so far from the truth. Part of her change of heart came from meeting Clark, Paulson said. And adding that the woman apologized to her, she's like, I want to say I'm sorry. And I said, for what? She said, well, for the hair. Paulson explained she wore different wigs, were all varying degrees of not very attractive.
Yeah. Really, at some point, it looked like a geoped on her head. It really was bad. It was really bad. And you know, and that was accurate, unfortunately. Listen, to say they took license. They didn't take license.
And I loved you from the moment I met you because my mom gave me a home perm on the day of my prom.
Oh.
In 1978. Yeah, and I looked like sort of like, I don't Link from Mod Squad. And it was my boyfriend came to the door and he was like, oh, wow. Wow, that's big.
That's big.
Yeah, that's.
You know, I had two little kids. I'm just saying.
Right, you're saying
I wanted
it was easy.
Wash and wear hair. Yes, right. And you know what? It really didn't work. Really,
but
did not work.
But isn't this the same shit Hillary's going through? Her hair. Her.
Sure.
I'm like, seriously, she will get peace in the Middle East. They'll be like, not in that fucking pantsuit, really. That really in the Star Trek yellow thing? No.
Star Trek. Sorry.
So, okay, wait. I'm reading another thing from the LA Times. Okay. Even Marcia Clark, the prosecutor who was outmaneuvered when OJ's legal team played the race card, wrote on The Vox recently. You write columns in addition to fantastic books, people. By the way, let's not bring up that my fancy writer friend is right over there who might have just gotten you a fucking deal for your... Okay. I'm just saying, for the Rachel Knight series, which is fantastic, and now your new book. Hang on. I haven't even gotten to that yet. Blood Defense is fantastic with her new character. I'm not saying I need anything for that and I'm working in my basement. I'm just saying. Okay. Anyway, you wrote that in the recent police shootings, caught on camera, has given me a deeper understanding of why the African-American jurors viewed the Simpson case so differently than I did. And isn't that sad in a way, too, that you go between Trump's rallies and all the police, you're like, wow, and the reaction to President Obama, has racism actually gotten worse since the OJ trial?
In the immediate aftermath, it felt like that. We had Prop 209, I don't know if you remember that, and it was right after the trial, and it basically rolled back affirmative action, and it's passed in an overwhelming number, and I don't think, had it not been for the trial and the verdict, I don't think it would ever have passed.
Right.
And so they rolled back 20 years of advancements in affirmative action in that one single proposition.
Yeah.
And I just had the feeling that it had something to do with the verdict. You know, that
yeah.
there's all kinds of ways to riot.
Yeah.
And that's one of them yeah. in the ballot.
Well, the scene, the one scene in the show where the black juror gives O.J. the
oh, yeah.
black power.
Salute. That was absolutely like, true. Yeah, absolutely
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
We found out after the fact that he had been a member of the Black Panther Party. Oh, and boy. What's really interesting, I saw him on a Dateline recently, on Dateline, saying, oh, I just wanted to get out of there. I didn't care. I didn't care about the verdict. I thought, you are such a liar. You are such a big
yeah.
liar.
Yeah.
You not only cared, but you made up your mind before you sat down in that chair.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, everybody has their own reworking of history.
You know, and the funny thing is, I'm obviously liberal, and I've been a big part of supporting, you know, a lot of the Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter stuff that's mm-hmm. been happening and all of this stuff. And absolutely. As have you, you know, you've been absolutely. A legal analyst on a lot of shows. I remember, absolutely. Marcia, as everyone does, as was portrayed so well in the movie, I was doing the late night show at that time, and I remember the verdict came down. We were all in, like, hair and makeup. And it was that thing that was played out everywhere. All the white people in the room went, what? The fuck? And all the black people were like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we all looked at each other because we were all loved each other. We're coworkers. And I was like, what? Right. Like, you're happy?
Right. Right. And I really wished he would have been honest. I mean, that juror could have given us real insight.
Right.
You know, the real truth was, you know, yes, you were rooting for him. You didn't want this famous black man to go down. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You wanted to win, and you wanted to prevail over these corrupt cops who were embodied by Mark Furman. Yeah. I get it. But please tell the truth about that. And right. That's why I so appreciated Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
and perhaps Sterling Brown. For, you know, that honesty will give – that's the kind of honesty that brings understanding, that actually lets us kind of come to the table and understand one another and get to a place where, okay, I don't agree, but I get it.
Yeah.
That's where we need to start there. Yeah. And yeah. with that kind of honesty, we can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it was, I mean, that's the thing is, like, you think, like, oh, it was different back then, but then you look at all this racist yeah. stuff that's happened since then, and
I know.
And just even the Trump campaign.
Oh, my God.
And you think, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, right? The Trump rallies are really scary when you think about what he's promoting and the kind of xenophobic, the kind of
racist, homophobic, like, exactly. It is the most blatant, you yeah. know, you'll understand this. Someone said, like, Donald Trump is every Republican after four drinks. But it's like, oh, we don't have to be political. Oh, we can say the N-word now. Okay, oh, yeah. Fantastic. Mark Furman will be like, Furman will be like, oh, Trump's like, you goddamn know Mark Furman has a Make America Great hat. You know he does. Meaning, I can say the N-word again.
Yeah, and he's got that one of those posters, right? All lives matter. All lives matter. Okay, baby, I get it. But, you know, it's really, no, it's a scary time. And I do think one of the most pressing questions that I've been asked is, do you think that the verdict would have been different today? And I'm not sure it would. You yeah, know, I see yeah. the police shootings and I see what goes on. And yeah. I think, sadly, the same issues are right there. Yeah. And not just race, just. There's no such thing as just.
Well, that's
but sexism, too. Domestic violence, too. Still, people don't believe that that's... Many don't believe that it's a crime. Yeah. Many believe that it's a family affair. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ways in which we have not woken up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is what's a sad thing, is that, you know, as much as you think, like, oh, that was so endemic to just the 90s or something, it really isn't.
No.
I mean, that's what's sad is because even in the way you were cast is probably this, like, bitch, white,
right.
racist. I bet you got stuff that you're racist, right? And you're going, I'm a prosecutor. This is my job. He clearly committed murder.
Yeah.
There's a mountain of evidence. You were anti-death penalty.
Yeah.
You were, like, you were not a conservative. You
no.
were just, and you started as a defense lawyer.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's funny how you got pigeonholed.
Yeah. But isn't that what the press does? Media and press. I don't want to just say the press. The media does that. They distill everybody down to a little tiny dot that they right. can put in a pigeonhole. And right. okay, so you're this and you're that. And right. they tried to do it with us. They knew I was a prosecutor, therefore I'm going to be right wing and you can argue with me. And then they found out.
I can imagine them in the control. Oh my God, they like each other way
oh,
too much.
Stop it.
They're way too much alike.
Oh,
this
shit.
Is a fucking disaster.
Shit, did Clark just agree? Did she just fucking
did
agree?
She just laugh
God
at her.
Damn it.
She's supposed to look like Stephanie just farted when Stephanie tells a joke. What is happening here?
This is not good.
Abort, abort.
Abort. It's true. It's true. Yeah. And then so then, you know, they find out that people are actually not these little, like, tiny soldiers that they can move around and put into little pigeonholes, and it freaks them out.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, wait, oh, you don't fit. It doesn't fit. Oh, don't
Speaking
go there.
Of fitting.
Don't start.
All right, so everyone wants to. So did you fuck Christopher Garden or not? For fuck's sake. You're my friend. I mean, come on. Everybody's dancing.
Just no.
I know.
I'm finally answering.
Oh, listen, it's as much as we've done. Dancing, drinking, no fucking.
Exactly. We dance, we drink, we talk about shit. Yes, that happened.
I mean, Christopher Garden and I share that we would like to. We just didn't get a chance to.
Oh, geez. They really went there on the series, didn't they? I really felt like that they had to do that for comic relief.
Right.
Because it was such a bummer. It's a bummer of a story when you think about it.
It's true. But when you've been, when you're in that emotional trench together, you know, you're just facing all this shit and you're going through your personal stuff and he's there for you and you're there for him.
Stress is the biggest libido killer ever.
Right.
And we had a little bit of it. A little bit of stress.
A little bit, as Robert De Niro would say. A little bit.
Fucking horrible.
But
I just wish I had been actually hanging out with you during the trial.
I know.
It would have been so nice.
I know.
It took too long to meet you.
I would have. I know, exactly. I would have brought my whoopee cup and been like, hey, okay, put this under Judge Ito.
Bring a little slide whistle.
I would have lightened that shit up.
It would have been so good, man.
But it is amazing. I mean, I thought it is amazing to all this hullabaloo over this series, and I'm going, fuck you. That's the Marcia Clark I knew 20 years ago. Like, really? Oh, you're all new to this fucking game that she's really fucking sensitive and caring and deep and warm and funny and just, you know, and that's why you're just a hero to so many people.
I think I'm
trust so... me, you know how many people I had to keep out of this fucking place? It's only the person that can get you a goddamn movie deal that I invite because people are like, oh, Marcia Clark's coming. Can I come out? I'm like, no. You cannot.
Oh, man. But you know what? You're so kind, and it's so sweet of you to say. I think that it really kind of feels nice just not to be framed up like a bitch anymore. Yeah. You know, some people will always do that. But, you know, largely, you know, it's feeling better, and it's really kind of nice to be understood.
But you've done that on TV. You're so smart and great when you do legal commentary and all the stuff you've done. You come off as who you are, is just warm and funny and sharp and just, you know. I mean, I think that... people don't understand that in a courtroom, that's a specific fucking thing. This guy sliced two people to death.
I know.
Oh, can you guys go get it's the food? Can you just go? I already paid for it. Oh, my God. Thanks so much, guys. Okay.
They edit this, right?
No.
Okay, that's good. No. That's fun.
This is just in my basement. This is the lowest rent thing you've done. Trust me.
It's only because
we have history.
it's only because I love you so much. I have to be here with you, Stephanie.
I love you so much. Tell me, okay, how old are your sons now?
Oh, my God, they're big. One is 26.
Okay,
the other
really
one is
fucking old.
Almost 24.
Wow.
Crazy making. Yeah.
Wow.
When we met, they were little tiny.
Babies.
Yeah.
Exactly. How are they doing?
They're doing great.
Yeah.
They're doing great.
Yeah.
The older one is an economist. He's working at a litigation support firm up in the Bay Area. My younger one up in the Bay Area also, and he's working at a startup company.
Yeah.
They're just doing super well. They're great.
As my dad always would ask me, are you happy? Are you healthy? Do you have enough money?
Yes, exactly.
That's all he ever asked me.
It's so funny. That's such a parental thing. And I just do, how are you, honey? How are you, honey?
Well,
how
you're going to be much better once my friend gets you that goddamn Robert Zemeckis deal that I just fucking set up.
Oh, God.
Fuck, Sean. Why am I working in my basement? And I'm connecting some motherfuckers over here.
You are, but I already heard her give you EP credit.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, you know how people in Hollywood are kind of loose lips with, oh, of course you'll get a credit.
Mm. Yeah. And then you're in craft services.
I already started reading Blood Defense.
Oh, okay. You did?
First of all, can I just say, you are a fantastic writer. I mean, it's not
Thank
just
you.
That you, you know, because I know they always go, oh, Marcia Clark knows her way around a courtroom and knows her way around. It's not just that. Like, it wouldn't take just that. Because any fucking lawyer could write a book then. And most of them are fucking assholes.
It's true. That is absolutely true. I don't hang out with lawyers. I really don't. God, they suck. They largely suck. They really do. Yeah.
But no, the whole Rachel Knight series, all of them, right? The competition, Killer Ambition, Guilt by Degrees, Guilt by Association. They were just fucking fantastic.
Thank you.
And so, you decided to switch to your original criminal defense attorney. Samantha Brinkman is the new character who is a defense attorney, is what you started out as.
Right, exactly.
In Blood Defense. And I've started reading it. This also ties in with you. You land a high-profile double murder case in which one of the victims is a Blood TV star. The defendant is a decorated LAPD detective. It's all of your worlds colliding because your first case, you prosecuted the guy that killed TV actress Rebecca Schaefer.
That wasn't my first. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Not your first, but I mean your big, you
know,
the other.
It was like my 200th. Yeah, <whatever. laughs> But yeah, that was the other big high-profile case.
Right.
Was involving the murder of Rebecca Schaefer by a stalker. And she was a brilliant actress who was just on the brink of yeah. amazing stardom. And it was a painful, tragic, tragic case. But, you know, it's great because I get to, with Samantha Brinkman, who is a criminal defense lawyer, and yeah. she's struggling to bring her practice up into the big leagues. And so I got to create a much more twisted character.
Yeah.
Someone with a traumatic childhood, someone yeah. who has a lot of issues, and someone who she's reckless, and she doesn't believe in the law, really.
Yeah.
She thinks it's a suggestion that she doesn't have to follow.
It's not a rule.
Really?
It's an idea.
It's an yeah. idea, yeah. And that's a cute idea, and sometimes it works for her, and sometimes it doesn't. She doesn't really care either way, and she hates cops.
Yeah.
So I wanted to set up this scenario where she was defending a cop, and
It's fantastic. I just started reading it, but the other thing is the New York Times just you released your original book Without a Doubt about the Simpson case as an ebook,
right?
Which I assume there's so much renewed interest because of the series, it's just. I mean, it is amazing to me. It's so funny. I feel like even before I knew you, I was so defensive of you during the trial. I was just like, fuck you, you motherfucker. Because, you know, it's just a lot of people that wrote books about it, you know, harsh on you. And then, like, you know, I thought, God damn it was harsh enough at the time what you went through. And you know, it just and I assume that because you stopped, obviously. I think you were quoted somewhere saying that you might not have stopped if it hadn't been for that.
Maybe not. It's really hard. Yeah. It's one of those that's so hard to know. Like, what would you have done if?
Right.
And you know, if you'd prevailed in the case, if he'd been convicted, would you stay? I don't know. Maybe not. You know, in hindsight, I have to say that it was probably time for me to try something new, to go out. And maybe I need to believe that. I'm not sure. And I'll never know, you know, what would have been.
Right.
But I do, you're talking about the criticism, and that brings me back to a sexist thing. I have to say, I'm not sure whether that's true or not. I do know this. I know that the two main books that came out very critical of us were written by people who were laudatory, who were saying we were doing a great job, to me in particular.
Yeah.
Vince Bugliosi, who led the charge about, the prosecution fucked it all up, sent me two telegrams at the end of the trial saying what a great job I'd done of convicting, of showing he was guilty. Jeff Toobin, who wrote the book Run for His Life, very critical and stupidly critical. He said some dumb shit in that book. But he was another one who was largely supportive during the trial. And then the verdict came in, and there was an appetite in the air for someone to blame and someone to kick. And it has been pointed out to me, and I'm not sure that I agree with it, that it was easier to kick a woman than it would have been to kick a man.
Yeah.
And to criticize every decision and to second-guess every move. And maybe that's true. I'm not sure.
All these cross currents they were saying of, you know, the two white women in the Marsha Clark and Nicole Brown Simpson, who's the victim. But you know, you go, really, you're going to put the murder victim on trial for that she partied or did this or that when there was so much evidence of domestic violence, of, you know, all of that stuff that she put in a vault, right?
Yeah,
she put in a vault saying he's going to kill me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she had said it to Kris Jenner. She had Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
Is she saying Kris Jenner? Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
I don't remember which. She said it to Kris Jenner. Unfortunately, she didn't say it in a way that allowed me to admit it in the evidence. And to that jury, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's OJ and he's going to kill me. You know, and she knew it. That's why she created the safe deposit box with all the pictures and the articles and things talking about that very thing. And he's going to get away with it. And she knew. And I wanted so badly to prove her wrong. You know?
And forensic, I remember, forget jurors being interviewed. Well, there wasn't any evidence. I thought, oh my God, there was the biggest mountain of fucking forensic. And then in the civil trial after, you must have fucking lost your shit.
Yeah.
There was like the Bruno Mollies, the pictures. Like, it just, I mean, it just is stunning when you think back on it.
You know, when I think back on it, I also think what I did in the final argument in rebuttal was I threw out the DNA. I said, forget it. You think it's all contaminated, whatever.
All of these, all of these coincidences. I remember you saying like 1 in 0 was 0, 0, 1 billion. 1 in 5.
It's so crazy. But you don't believe it. Right. You don't like it. Don't. Okay, so throw it out.
Right.
Let me just show you the evidence that no one could touch. Right. No one could argue with.
Right.
And the hair and fiber that was all, you know, his hair and fiber on the glove and on the in the and their hair and fiber in the Bronco. I mean, it was all over the place. And then just the fact that you had a blood trail leading from Bundy into his bedroom before he even came back from Chicago.
Yeah.
So how did that get planted? How did that happen?
Yeah.
Who else could it be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Forget, don't even analyze the blood. Forget it. Just follow the trail.
Right.
If all you did was that, you'd know it was him. If all you did was, I challenged the jury in the final argument with the Alan Park. Remember the limo driver?
Yeah, yeah. I remember very clearly, just all I remember is Blanco Bronco. That woman. Whoever that woman was.
Rosa Lopez.
The Blanco Bronco.
Who is it?
That's all I saw, Blanco Bronco.
Alan Parks.
That was my best impression at the time.
It was very
good. I got a lot of work because of that. So.
It was good. Yeah. It was
thank you.
Really good.
I saw Blanco Bronco. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, so go ahead. Go ahead. What are you saying?
I just challenged the jury to say, you know what? If you believe this limo driver, which no one could disbelieve him.
Yeah.
Johnny couldn't touch him. Didn't even try.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately, if you believe him,
yeah,
you must believe that Simpson is guilty. Because he blah, 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 blah. He puts him in the timeline and he makes it very clear that it was Simpson who dropped the glove behind Cato's room, that he was walking in the blah, blah, blah. So it all devolves from there.
Yeah.
And if you believe his testimony, you cannot believe that Simpson didn't do it. You must believe he's guilty.
Have you heard that he, when he gets out of prison, he wants to date both Chris Kardashian and Caitlyn Jenner? I'm not fucking shitting you.
Come on.
I'm not fucking shitting you.
Where'd that come from?
OJ.
No.
Yes.
Where?
Somewhere. I've got it. Hang on. I got it in my stack.
I want the evidence. Counsel.
Listen. Counsel. I've
got it. Counsel.
In my Marcia stack. No. He fucking said that. Right, Sean? I fucking found it. Hang on. It's over here somewhere. Yeah. No. He said he would like to date Chris Kardashian when he gets out and also perhaps Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, God.
Your thoughts?
Oh, oh no. Word pictures. Oh, that's so foul. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you said, like, you couldn't put Chris Kardashian on, but she knew.
She totally knew. And she was great, actually, to be honest with you. She was great with us during the trial.
Yeah.
And she came in. She actually made the witnesses, who were Nicole's friends, who had seen the evidence of domestic violence, she brought them all in. She corralled them. She brought them in. I don't know whether they would have come forward. And if they don't come forward, and, you know, how would you find them? So they really, she did a good thing. She did a really good thing.
Yeah.
And I think it was a problem for her. They showed that actually in a series, and it was cool. They showed how it kind of was a problem for her and Bob Kardashian, who was his friend.
Yeah.
You know, that issue between them, they were actually one of the most civilized divorce couples I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, you kept seeing the looks on, you know, well, David, it was Schwimmer, but, you know, Robert Kardashian's face.
Yeah.
That, you
could
know,
tell.
He knew.
Yeah.
You know, he knew what had happened. And it just, I mean, the whole thing, I thought, like, it was such a, I think that's why it's so popular, right? Because it was such a sort of stunning, like, really, like, real life portrayal of what really happened and the real people that were involved, including you and the emotions involved and all that. Because, you know, you think, like, the whole circus around it, oh, ha, 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 we make all these jokes, but at the center of it, you were always like, two people just got fucking slaughtered.
Made me crazy.
And the Goldmans still obviously clearly never over it and never, you know, I mean, how could you be?
They don't get a chance to be over it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I thought about when I first heard about the series was, oh my God, they're going to be put through this again? Yeah. I mean, you know, it hard on me, but whatever. He wasn't my brother. And I can't even, or my son.
Right.
God, you know, I mean, it's unthinkable. And then to be made to relive it the way they do. And it's just, I just can't tell you how heartbreaking it was for me to think about what they had to go through.
Yeah.
As glad as I was that they got the show, they got the story, or they got the case and the essence of the issues well, they really did. The big issues, they got right.
Yeah.
I was really glad to see that, and that's important. But damn it, it feels like Ron and Nicole always seem to get forgotten.
Yeah.
And it killed me during the trial. And I was, every single day that Fred Goldman stood up and would talk about how they're forgetting about the victims, they're forgetting about Ron, they're forgetting about Nicole. But thank God. God bless you for talking about this, for reminding everyone what this is about. It's really not about Johnny Cochran's whatever or
or Bob Shapiro's whatever, or you know, all that stuff. Come on. And it's not about somebody's football legend. It's about these two innocent people. And it really...
How do you feel about it? He's going to be out of prison at some point.
At some point, he probably will. But, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen next year because he's up for parole.
Yeah.
That's going to be their decision. They have to base it on how he's behaved in prison. They can't base it on what he got away with. So,
yeah.
I don't know. He could get out.
Yeah.
He could get out. I'm only hoping that if he does get out, he's old enough to stop... Yeah. Getting into
my old producer on my old radio show used to say that was a running joke, like, you know, here's our rundown for the next day, we're gonna do whatever, and then she'd always go, unless OJ kills someone again.
Oh,
oh,
God.
All right.
Oh, God.
Then we'll just spitball, because that'd be that was a little running joke, but not funny.
It's sick, but, you know, it's one of those.
So what were your emotion when you were watching this whole thing? Watching, you know, Sarah Paulson and watching this. I mean, did you feel vindicated? Did you feel emotional? What did you feel?
All of those things, you know, one after another after another. It was really hard to see the battles fought and lost all over again. And it started from the very first ruling. And they didn't show that, actually, interestingly. The biggest battle was... when I made a motion to preclude them from bringing in Mark Furman's challenging the defense, saying, if you could show me physically how he could have managed to move the glove, a glove from Bundy to Rockingham, have at it.
Yeah.
By all means. But if you can't, then his feelings about African Americans are irrelevant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he had motive to do if he couldn't do it. And the judge initially ruled for me and then ruled against me. And seeing the repercussions of that bad ruling, terrible ruling.
Yeah.
Played out over and over again as one thing after another built up, and Chris's eloquent argument about at least don't let the word in, at least don't do that, and the way in which he got shut down over and over again, it was just painful. At the same time, I thought, I hope people are watching this. I hope they're seeing this. Yeah. I hope they're getting what this means and why it went the way it went, why we wound up with an acquittal.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine you. If tequila or not, if you're watching Mark Furman on Fox News or whatever, what words would those be?
I think we've said them all.
Worse than motherfucker.
Worse than
is there
mother fox fucking racist
asshole
motherfucker
douchebag.
Yeah, yeah. That was my little running joke. MF, you know.
Yeah,
Mark Furman.
Yeah, No, because I'm sure you got some of that shit. Like, oh, you're the racist. When I'm like, oh, and. Your case got fucked up because of this racist motherfucker.
Exactly. Right. I didn't get as much of it as you would think, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure there was...
More sexist than racist.
More sexist. Yeah. Really that. Yeah. It was really interesting. I didn't get set up like that, and I really kind of kept expecting to because, you know, I'm prosecuting him.
Well, you didn't come in with a parasol every day. You didn't twirl a parasol.
Lack my mint julep now, and the people will call as our next witness, Cato Caden. But
you didn't sing like Carly Fiorina. My heart belongs to Daddy. Okay, here's my point about the evidence.
Didn't do that. But I have to say, you know, I'm sure that there was some stuff swirling around and, you know, whatever. I luckily did not get confronted with it, luckily.
Yeah.
Because it so wasn't true. And it would be one of those, like, please, you know, I have to do a job. Do you want me not to prosecute because the defendant happens to be a minority? Pick your minority.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I don't have that choice. I don't
have
that
luxury.
Oh, my
God. How about that thing about how they changed all the pictures in his house to him with people with black people, and they were all pictures of him with white people?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Really. I remember walking through Rockingham on the very first day, you know, when the murders were discovered, and remarking on that to myself, thinking, wow, not even family pictures.
Yeah.
Not even. So, I mean, it was all these white fat cats, you know, and all these men, you know, golfing and stuff like that, doing very white things. And it was really, it was kind of stunning that there weren't at least family photographs to me.
Yeah.
And there was this big picture of, or was it a drawing or a picture of Paula Barbieri?
Yeah.
On her back looking like a kitten with a ball string. It was really, it's really hilarious. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and then they found under the bed a picture of Nicole with someone. And it was turned over, face down, underneath the bed. Right. Really interesting. But
like in Basic Instinct, next to a knife? Okay.
Next to a knife? But, you know.
I'm sorry.
But when they changed everything for the jury view, and it was really upsetting. This is evidence tampering in a way.
Yeah.
And so I've objected, and I told the judge, you can't let them go inside. This now no longer even is relevant. There's nothing in there that's relevant. Not only did he overrule my objection, but he said, well, I'll just tell the jurors, don't look at the walls.
Don't look at the walls. That's brilliant. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
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 And of course, what did they do?
Yeah.
Yeah. They looked at the
walls. Okay, do you throw shit at the screen when Mark Forman's on? What do you think? What's
really, it's a tie between him and Ito.
What's your favorite swear word?
Oh, God. Crazy making. It's crazy making. And yet, you know, isn't it kind of ironic that the only one who wound up convicted of anything was him?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, the whole thing. So people want to know, how are you doing now? You're good. You're fucking, I know. I can testify as your friend. I invite you to every fucking thing here and you can never come because you're always writing a goddamn book.
I'm always.
You always are on a deadline. You're a fucking workaholic still.
It's on Amazon. It's Amazon, dude. They have a whip. They crack across your back. It's like we want two
books a year.
You're
either on a book tour or you're writing or you're finishing or you're something. Jesus.
It's been really crazy. It's been so fucking crazy. Yeah. And I remember the last thing I was going to come to, it's like I really wanted to go. I wanted to have a good time and see my friend Stephanie.
People here.
I wanted to go play with you. And
see,
I was
she even skipped that and I'm still going to get her fucking movie deal. She skipped the dinner party with Rob Reiner. She's still going to get a fucking movie deal from me.
And still... I'll get you EP credit. I will.
Yeah.
But it was really, you know, it's kind of nightmarish. It got to a point where I really almost felt like I wasn't breathing and it was too much.
Yeah.
Because I still have a caseload. I'm handling cases for the...
You're doing defense stuff now.
Doing defense stuff on appeal.
Wow.
Court-appointed cases for the indigent. So I'm like, it's just too much fucking work. So I don't get to go out. I don't get to do anything.
And you said...
Maybe that's good.
You read the... No, I miss you.
I miss you too. I'm just thinking I get out. I don't get in trouble. But of course, I'd rather get in trouble.
Oh, listen, anyway. I've got bail money. I know a good lawyer. You.
Oh, that's so weird. I'm arguing my own bail motion. Oh, that's so weird.
She's my attorney. I'm sure you know my attorney, Marcia Clark.
She's going, and the judge says, yeah, I know her. I don't believe a word.
But what was I saying? I'm glad though, because it's unusual. You've had this whole other career that is so successful in writing seem to really love.
Love it. I always wanted to.
You know who I just was in Santa Fe with for Sexy Liberal is Valerie Plame.
Oh,
she reminds me of you that I'm like, for totally different reasons, she got her whole career fucking
blown
to fucking shreds.
Horrifying what happened to her.
But
horrifying.
She's done the same thing. It's like, I feel like, you know, it's whether it's you, Hillary, Valerie, but there's all these women that I think we so admire that fucking just get up and keep going. That you know, I mean, how are you feeling about the whole Hillary thing in the political season? Because it is amazing the sexism she's facing.
Oh my God.
She gets compared to you every day.
She does. Yeah. That's so weird. I don't feel like I'm worthy, but I think it's amazing, and I feel for her. You know, I really feel for her, and I admire her strength and her fortitude. I admire the fact that she doesn't let anyone slow her down. Good for you. Go, girlfriend. You know, I really... It's a foregone conclusion that she's going to be facing enormous amounts of sexism. There's no way to avoid it. But
Donald Trump just said, oh, she's playing the woman card. By having a vagina?
What? And didn't he say, you know, the reason she's getting the ratings or the votes that she's getting is because she's a woman? I think, are you crazy?
Yeah,
she
has no other qualifications.
No. That is the thing that... thank you for saying that. This is the thing that makes me so outraged by it. Also outraged. Not just outraged, but outraged. Yes. That's good. Anyway, I speak English
sometimes.
Have
some more tequila.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing fine.
You're doing great.
No effect. And I'm going to get in the car. Anyway, no problem there.
Go ahead.
The fact that of all of the candidates, all of them, she has more experience than any of them.
Yeah.
There is no...
So to say she's not qualified or she's playing a woman guard, I'm like, come on.
If she were a man, we would be calling this race right now.
Yeah.
Really, everybody else would just go home because she's been a governor. She's been Secretary of State.
Senator.
Senator. Excuse me.
Yes.
Did I say governor?
Yeah. Senator.
I'm going to put the tequila right over here.
No, have some.
Anyway. Thank you.
Right. Secretary of State.
All she's done, and honest to God... We're questioning her qualifications.
Yeah.
Are we really saying that?
Yeah.
Of all things, there's not one of these men who can compete with her. Not one.
Yeah.
I just, that makes me nuts.
Yeah.
You may love her and you may hate her. You can feel however you want.
I'm looking forward
to
you
can't say unqualified.
No,
you can't
exactly.
say that.
I'm looking forward to the debates with Donald Trump because he'll just be like,
oh my God.
Look who's putting the cunt back in country. Whatever, cankles. What'd I say? What'd I say?
Oh my God.
It's going to be fantastic. The new book is Blood Defense. This has been...
Sorry. Sorry, yeah. I lost it. I lost my shit.
That's what I love about you. Blood Defense is the new book. She's a fucking fantastic writer and an amazing woman. Marcia Clark, I love you. I do.
I love you so much, Stephanie.
I love you so much.
Always have.
This has been fucking happy hour with fucking Marcia Clark, everybody. Is this where we play our music? It's not coming up?
We'll add it in post.
All right, we'll add it in post.
Yeah,
we'll
fix it in post. Fix it in post.
Like, just like they did with the OJ trial on the new series.
Fix it in post. Fix it in post, baby.
I love you.
Love you so much, Stephanie.